Amen. Well, take your Bibles and turn with me over to 1 Peter. We're in chapter 2 tonight, so 1 Peter chapter 2, if you'll be making your way there. And I feel like a dairy farmer tonight. I've got to ask you, you got milk? Right? That's what Peter would say here. So that kind of fits North Iredell County, I guess, in some ways. But Peter's going to ask them, the church there, he's going to speak to them, he speaks to us, about a desire that you and I should have for the pure milk of the Word, and it's actually the Word of God, amen? And there's an encouraging thing here, because he's going to actually go and draw from a psalm, Psalm 34. He'll repeat that later in chapter 3. He'll actually quote a long section of that psalm. And, you know, in preparing for tonight, I went back and meditated on that psalm a little bit. It's a great song of deliverance of David, and when David was fleeing and for his life and needed deliverance, and how God preserved him and delivered him and protected him. And in some ways, Peter's writing to those that are scattered, those who are being persecuted for their faith, and they need deliverance as well. Some are actually suffering for their faith. And so he's writing in a similar vein. Now, we're not suffering really here for our faith in America, and praise the Lord for that, right? But we're not promised that it's going to be always easy, okay? We have been truly blessed in America. Do not take that for granted, right? And steel your spine even now by growing in the Word and growing in a healthy diet of the meat to sustain us should things change. And if you haven't noticed, there's another party out there. They hate us, okay? And they despise what we believe in our faith. And trust me, if they happen to get back in power, there's no telling what they'll do, right? Because the pendulum swings, y'all, back and forth. And it seems to swing further and further each time. And when they, again, when you see them shooting up churches and burning them. Now, that wasn't a church, the LDS church, okay? They're not the same faith as ours, okay? But we still, that's wrong what they did. It's still evil. People who are gathering for worship, whether we don't believe their God is our God. But nonetheless, be mindful that's why we have a security team. That's where we live nowadays, okay? And while we're not persecuted in that way, like all across the United States, realize that there are those who hate us and our God and what he represents and what we stand for with him. And so be mindful of that. But he's speaking again to that community that was in that environment. And so we want to be aware of that. And there's a therefore there. And the therefore is there for a reason, right? Always remember that in chapter 2. What have we learned previously? Well, we're to live as people who have a living hope. You and I are supposed to live in a desire to live holy, to be like our Father in heaven who's holy, to avoid the aimless conduct we once have because we've been saved, to live in a different way, to live in a way that, listen, demonstrates a love for the brethren that just abounds and bubbles up and flows out of us. And that's one of the key delineators, the key things that separates us from the world is by the way we treat one another, love one another, care for one another, minister to one another. And so we need to have that fervent love, a pure love from a pure heart for the body of believers and realize it's possible because we've been saved by this word. This word has changed us. This is an incorruptible seed that's been planted in our hearts, and it's changed us. And therefore, because of that, and because of our desire to live a godly life and not a godless life anymore, because of our desire to not be selfish, but to be selfless in our love for one another, therefore, he's going to say something. And so what does he say? Therefore, laying aside, okay, literally he's saying, as you like, take off your clothes, take off your garment, lay aside what, you know, take that clothing off. What kind of clothing are we laying aside? All malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. As newborn babes, here it is, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Or from Psalm 34, O taste and see that the Lord is good. It's the same idea. It's the same concept, and it's drawn from Psalm 34. Anybody tasted and seen God's good? Oh, I have. He's good. Amen. He's gracious. Praise the Lord. Well, since that's happened in our life, and since we are now pursuing holiness, and since we are desiring to live a different, distinct kind of life that from where we once were, no longer godless, but godly, since we have now love in our hearts, let's lay aside the things that would hinder us from loving one another. These are our selfish sins that will cause us to not have the unity in the body that God desires. Remember, our witness, our testimony, in our unity, in our harmony as one, that's not the city, in our harmony as one, as the people of God, is a testimony to the world around us and the way we treat one another. And so some of these sins that he says, you know, fleshly, we used to act this way, they would hinder you and hinder me. Excuse me, my throat. They would hinder us from doing what we ought to do as the people of God and loving one another. And so he says it quite simply, lay aside these wrong attitudes of our hearts. You take off. It's literally like I'm taking off my coat. I used to be living this kind of way with malice or deceit or hypocrisy and envy, evil speaking. I don't want a part of that in my life anymore. And you shouldn't either. As the people of God, we don't want that as something that typifies our life, as an example of our life. Now, these same sins Paul used, not Peter, Paul used them when we read some of these were similar, were found over in 1 Corinthians that we read earlier, and you can find it in Romans and also in Galatians. He'll talk about these similar sins that really are just works of the flesh, right? When we are in a fleshly, carnal state, not maturing in our faith, not living by the Spirit, but walking according to the flesh, we can act this way. And it's interesting. Peter says, get rid of all of it. Three times I circled it in my Bible. Get rid of all malice, all deceit, all evil speaking. In other words, make note, don't allow it to be just a little minute part of it. Just a little bit, right? Get rid of all of it. Paul would say, you know, destroy or crucify the flesh. Don't make any provision for it. Don't leave the door open, just a little crack, right? Make sure you're thorough in your sanctification. I don't want to see, if I get a hint of it in my life, God, crucify that. I don't want that to have a place in my life. And so we want to get rid of these. They're particularly community-destroying vices, right? And so how do we get rid of it? Well, one of the ways that why we get rid of them is because malice is just wickedness in general, right? We want, our God's a holy God. Our God's a good God, amen? We don't want to have any wickedness, any malice towards people in our hearts. We don't want to have any guile or deceit. I mean, we don't have to be crafty. Our God is truth. And truth has nothing to hide from, right? Truth can be proclaimed boldly. Truth doesn't have to be anonymous. I always love the anonymous, well, someone said, preacher, No. You can tell the truth in love or you're not a believer. Amen? If it's the truth, what do you have to be ashamed and hide behind it? Just say it or deal with it. Go to your brother or sister. Deceit, the craftiness, that's the devil. That's got no place in community. Amen? Man, old Slyfoot, and he's slippery. I mean, he's sneaky. I mean, Paul even had to tell the Corinthians, be careful. He can appear as an angel of light. I mean, he is crafty, so you got to be careful about that. Hypocrisy, that's when you pretend to be something that you're not, right? So we want to be authentic. We want to be genuine, and we want a life that looks like that. The envy is, well, you know, that's when I'm not content with what I have, what God has given me. Now stop and think about it. He's going to say in a moment, have you tasted God is good? Amen. Has God been gracious to you? Amen. Has God given you better than you deserve? Amen. He has. Then there should be no room in our heart to envy someone else. Like, well, I just don't have enough. Well, he's a loving, good father. And if I've tasted and seen, he's gracious. Beloved, if he saved us, what's he going to withhold from us? In fact, what's fascinating is over there in the psalm, it says that he will withhold no good thing from them who fear him. Now, we've already talked about the fear and the reverence. That's over there that we conduct ourselves that way in verse 17. While we're here on earth, we conduct ourselves in a fear and reverence of God. Well, if I'm conducting myself that way, and I even think about what he says over there in Psalm 34, it's a wonderful psalm to meditate on. I want to think about that truth that, I can exalt him. I can magnify him. This poor man looked to the Lord and he saved me. Amen. Their faces looked to him and they were not ashamed. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him. Oh, just taste and see. He's good. You know what? One thing I think that really will change our perspective about envying others and thinking I don't have enough because I don't have how much they have. You know, one of the things to do is just say thank you, God, for what you do have. That's a healthy, healthy exercise. I ate last night with a family, and there's a sweet humility and humbleness and just thanking God for what they had. And they don't have a lot, and that was okay. And they're just grateful. And they said, we teach our children, we don't have a lot, but what we have, we're grateful for. It really changes your outlook, your perspective. And now this world, it doesn't want you to think, they want that green eye of envy, right? Be envious of the Smiths. The Smiths have, or the Joneses, rather. Everybody's got to keep up with the Joneses. The Joneses got everything, right? If you're a Jones here tonight, I'm sorry, nothing personal, okay? All right? But the world tells us that, right? You don't have enough. Look at the Joneses, right? You got to keep up with them. But we shouldn't envy them. We should be grateful for the way God has blessed and provided for us. And then evil speaking is a term which literally in the Greek means speaking down about others. And often when we're elevating ourselves, what are we doing? We're putting others down. Now, that's not loving. That's not going to... God's love is one where you lower yourself to elevate others, right? You esteem others better than yourselves, and you love them in that way. And so all of these types of attitudes and actions, we don't want any of that. I don't want to make any provision. Don't get rid of all of it. Don't leave a little crack, right? And just a little bit of it get in there, right? And instead, one of the things we do want a lot of is we want to desire, literally crave, all right? Crave what? The pure milk of the Word. Now, the idea here is imagine a newborn, right? Now, I've witnessed this. It's really fascinating when them babies are born. When they're hungry, y'all, they fidget and they're feisty. And they won't stop moving. They are restless until they get their bottle or until they get their milk. They'll be moving all over. Calm down. I'm trying to put it in your mouth, right? That's how we should be, man, wanting the Word of God. I want it so bad, I am restless until I hear it. I can't stop moving. I just got to have the Word of God. Now, think about that. This is my attitude and your attitude when we come to worship, when we come on Sundays, when we wake up in the morning. I know you got to break your fast, breakfast, right, at some point during the day. But break your fast. What about a breakfast of the spiritual word, right? Of getting that milk of the word, getting God to speak into me. And now, a lot of churches, there's a lot of focus on the worship and the music and the energy and all that stuff. But what should be craved is the word. That's the main thing. Now, the other stuff's important too, so we're not going to stop singing, okay, right? Right? It prepares our heart. We're singing truths about God. We're preparing our heart to hear the word of the Lord. We're praising him. That's how we enter into his gates and into his courts with praise and thanksgiving. That's proper worship. But I want, after I've done that and I've praised him, and by the way, I need to hear you singing on Sunday morning a little louder, okay? You say, well, I don't know that hymn. That's okay. Then you sing the one you do know really loud, and we're supposed to be singing to one another, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Because God is great, and every generation singing to the other generation the music that they've loved and grown up with and celebrating, praising God. So sing louder on Sunday, okay? And celebrate who God is and what he's done in your life. But God, get my heart ready to hear what you got to say. Get my heart. God, I'm restless. I just got to hear it. I want to grow in the Word. Now stop. Think about this. If I am getting right with God and listening to what God has to say, I'm not going to be a troublemaker. Because my prince is a prince of peace. I'm going to be a peacemaker. Amen? I ain't going to let that those activities, which are usually like slyfoot, right? The deceitful one, the hypocrisy, the evil one, the wicked one, the one who's all about dividing and destroying. I ain't going to have no part in that, because I'm with the one true God who is one, right? And I want to be like him. And I want to do as he says. And so I crave this desire, right? I just have a deep desire. And until I get it, I'm restless. And that's how we should be as newborn babes. Now the picture here is not that you stay as a newborn babe, and it's not so much about, he's talking about maturity. He's just talking about the hunger, the appetite. Paul would talk about that maturity aspect and growing in maturity over to the Corinthians, partially because they were carnal and they were exhibiting some of these type of fleshly behaviors, and they needed to grow up and to move from the milk to the meat. But even here, we still want the milk, okay? I still want the milk of the word to feast upon. And so we need to have that longing, that hunger, that desire. Now, why? Because we want to grow. Notice what he says, that by it, or that you may grow thereby. Listen, the word is indispensable. You must have the word of God to grow in your faith. Okay? Get you a copy of the Bible. Get you a pen and or two or the color ones. If you want to know what kind, I'll show you where I order them on Amazon. They're great. They mark your Bible. They don't bleed through. They're really good. We even tell all the kids in Headwaters here, get this set of markers to mark your Bibles. They're really good. Just, you know, wisdom. We've done this for many years. And it's really good pens. And just mark your Bible, man. When God speaks, man, mark it up. Man, I heard him speak right here, man. This is something. This is a really good emphasis right here. This is something for me to put in practice. This is something for me to remember this. Put a star. Remember this, you know. Oh, here's a promise. Make your own set of little cues there. Here's a promise. Put a P, a big P or whatever. And something for me to remember. And mark your Bible. That's your knife and your fork, okay? All right? And I guess we're not talking about meat. We're talking about milk. So, all right? Drink it down, okay? Why? Because I want to grow. And I need the word to grow. Remember, he said earlier over in chapter 1 that this word was how we were born again. This word was the seed that was planted. This word is what lives and abides forever. This word is what changed us, the gospel that was preached to us. Well, we got to keep growing, y'all. Don't be stagnant. Don't be satisfied. None of us have arrived. Amen? Amen. Thank you, Danny. All right, none of us have arrived. Let's keep hungering. Let's keep craving. Let's keep desiring. All right? You say, well, I've heard that one, this sermon. I've heard that parable before. I've heard that story before. You know what? I've discovered I've not heard enough. I keep going back to it, and I'm like, man, there's something new. Why did I not see that before? How did I see that relationship in other passages of Scripture? How did I not draw that connection? And I'm just hungry. God, I want to show me more. I want to grow. And I'm not grown until I am fully like Christ. That's what Ephesians chapter 4, Paul would say. Listen, the desire is that we grow, all of us, to the full stature of Christ. You know, you take your kids to the pediatrician, you know, they weigh them, they put them on the measuring thing, they see how tall they are. It's really terrible when you're a dad and you take your last son and all your boys are now taller than you. It's real humbling. All right? And so you take them there and they put them, and then what do? They go in and they show you the growth chart, where they're at on the growth chart, right? I should be looking, you should be looking in a spiritual growth chart and realize we haven't gotten there yet, because when we get there, we will look like Jesus. That's the full measure of where we're going. And we're all growing. None of us has arrived yet, okay? I don't care how old, how much gray hair you and I have. Listen, we haven't arrived yet in our spiritual journey. We don't get there till we get to heaven. So let's grow. Let's grow thereby. And the milk is critical, right? Got milk, right? It's critical to grow. And so let's do that spiritually. Now, we should do this if indeed... Why should this be evident? Well, literally the idea here in the Greek is, since you've tasted and seen that God is gracious. I mean, really, if you and I have tasted and seen, man, he is so good. Why wouldn't I want to keep growing? If I've experienced that grace, The grace of God who rescues us from danger. That's what Psalm 34 is all about. David wanting a song about rescue me from danger right now. Because others have. They've looked to you. They weren't ashamed. This poor man cried out. The angel of the Lord, he encamps around all those who... He's right there to protect us and deliver us. Man, let's hunger for it. I've experienced it. You've experienced since indeed it's true. Then let's live this way. Let's remove ourselves from these types of fleshly behaviors. Let's grow in our spiritual maturity. Let's increase our hunger. Let's foster our desire and appetite for God to speak to us. And that's an amazing thing. That's what happens as we grow. Now, we have an individual responsibility. What's going to happen next is he's going to talk to it. Listen, when you do that and I do that, there's something that happens to us corporately. All right, that's the next section. But I got to make sure I'm doing my part. All right, because God's going to take you and take me and take another believer and another believer, and he's going to start putting these things together into a spiritual tabernacle or a spiritual house of worship. And that's what we want. That when people come in here, not just this house around us, right here, us. No, this tabernacle of who we are. Is it evident, God's presence, by the way he works in us and through us? And that's what we want to see. So a wonderful challenge tonight for all of us to examine our hearts and say, Lord, is this my heart's desire tonight? Am I hungering and desiring to be nourished and to mature in the Word? Let me encourage you. Pray about that tonight. Amen. Father, thank you for this book right here, Lord. It's a wonderful, wonderful book. It's the Word of God. Peter would say it's the oracles of the living God. It's just like what Moses brought down from the mountain. You have spoken. And so, Lord, give us not only ears that want to hear it, hearts that want to receive it. Give us a hunger to get it each and every day. And Father, we thank you tonight that you've given us everything we need through the knowledge of Jesus to grow in godliness. We have everything for life and godliness. So, Lord, help us to appreciate that and make the most of it each and every day. We love you and we praise you. We ask all this in your name. Amen.